One of the verses we chanted just now, Sevana Jabala Nang Banditana Chasevana. Not associating with fools, associating with wise people. This is a form of protection. The word mangala in that sutta means both protection and blessing. And this is how you bless yourself. It's learning how to recognize who are the fools and who are the wise people. Because not all the fools are drooling. Some of them seem very intelligent. Some of them seem very wise. But after a while, you begin to listen to what they have to say, and you look at the way they act. And if you have some wisdom of your own, you begin to recognize who's a fool and who's wise. It's kind of a little bit of a double bind. As the Buddha said, can a person of integrity know if someone else that they have integrity or not? Yes. And how about a person of no integrity? Can they know? Not really. So you've got to work on your own integrity. This applies to friends, fools, and wise people outside, and applies to the fools and wise people inside. One of the reasons why we meditate is to give the mind something wise to do. Get settled, get still, so you can observe more carefully. And any thoughts that come in that don't have to do with that, for the time being, you can label them as fools. Even relatively good thoughts about fixing potatoes for tomorrow, or making merit in one way or another. At this moment, they're not welcome. You have to learn how to recognize that they're not what's wanted in here. You want something better than tomorrow's meal. You want the goodness of stillness. You want the goodness of a calm, mindful, alert mind. And so if you find yourself slipping off into those areas, you have to remind yourself, that's not what we're here for. And try to notice what triggers those things. Sometimes that has to do with issues you brought in from the day, and other times that has to do with the way the breath is working through the body. Sometimes these images appear in the mind while you're trying to get the mind still that are related to the fact that you've just released a little bit of tension someplace in the body. And that tension will be related to a thought of one kind or another. Learn to notice it as it comes, but don't pick it up. As they say in Thai, don't continue weaving it. Let it leave its dangling ends dangling. I think I've mentioned that years back I was meditating one time and had a tight spot in my foot. And so I was working with the breath, and finally the spot began to unravel, and as it did, I could remember an incident from my childhood. We were playing in the barn one time, and I jumped into a pile of hay, and there was a nail in the hay, and it went right through my foot. And that tension had been in that foot ever since I was, 6 years old. So the body carries around a lot of little images here and there, memories of this, that, or the other thing. They say that when someone's heart has been placed into another person, the second person actually picks up some memories of the first person. So don't be surprised that images will come up. The wisdom lies in realizing how not to follow them. That's the first line of thumb right here as we're meditating. Is that anything that's not related to the breath, that's not related to getting the mind settled down with the breath or whatever your topic is, it's the voice of a fool for the time being. But the concentration on its own is not enough. I mean, there's what they call vipassanupagilesa, the corruptions of insight, either visions you might have or insights you may gain as you meditate. And if you latch onto them, they can actually pull you off the path. These are the fools on a subtle level. So getting the mind still doesn't guarantee everything. And John Munn, when he was teaching John Fuang, was saying when you have a vision of some kind, you have to ask yourself, what is the actual Dharma lesson here? And they have to test it. And many times it wouldn't pass the test. In other words, you have to be very honest with yourself. This is where the integrity comes in again. So you have to learn how to view your visions and your insights with a certain amount of detachment. This is one of the drawbacks of those biographies of the Ajahns to talk about the visions they had. They tend to focus on the true visions, given the impression that the Ajahns believed everything they saw in their meditation and ran with everything that came up in their meditation. If they'd done that, they would have gone crazy. The unfortunate thing is we don't get to read about or learn about the times when the vision was mistaken, or the insight was mistaken. Ajahn Phuong talks about times when, staying with Ajahn Mun, someone who had been out meditating in the forest would come back, convinced that he was awakened, or at least had some level of awakening. And Ajahn Mun would simply have him stay there in the area. He wouldn't say yes, he wouldn't say no, just hang around. Unfortunately, the monks would have enough respect with Ajahn Mun, and they began to pick up that no, what they had was a false awakening. And then he could talk to them and send them back. Those are things we rarely read about in the biographies. But they're important to remember. These things happen in the meditation. So there's that principle from the Gautama Sutta. You test everything by putting it to the test, i.e. seeing if you actually put this into action in thought or word or deed, what would the results be? And sometimes just thinking about it, you begin to realize, okay, this is going to be bad. Other times you have to actually try it. But view it with a certain amount of suspicion. Otherwise you go crazy. You go running with the fools. And just because a deva comes or something outstanding comes, it's very impressive, doesn't mean that what they have to say is true. As someone once said, just because somebody's died doesn't mean they've gained wisdom. So you've got to be very careful about these things. In the canon, the devas are often portrayed as not knowing all that much. There was the deva that tried to seduce a monk one time. Another deva thought of killing a monk one time. The monk had cut down her house, and in other words, the tree in which she was living, and it injured some of her children. The first thought was, let's kill them. No, and then she thought better of it. So she went to see the Buddha, and he said, it was a good thing you didn't kill the monk. But it shows that devas still have greed, aversion, and delusion. There's even the great Brahma. The monk goes to visit the great Brahma. After getting visions of this level of devas and that level of devas, and he keeps getting sent up the deva bureaucracy because he's got a question that nobody can answer. Where is the end of the physical universe? Finally gets sent to the great Brahma. The great Brahma, on hearing the question, says, I am the great Brahma, knower of all, seer of all, father of all, creator of everything that has been and will be. And the monk had the good sense to say, oh, that's not the question I asked. Where is the end of the physical universe? And the great Brahma says, I am the great Brahma, knower of all, seer of all. Says that three times. Finally pulls the monk aside. Says, look, I don't know. But I've got my retinue here, and they adore me, and they think I know everything. So you go down and ask the question of the Buddha. So the monk goes down, asks the Buddha, and the Buddha says, well, the question is the wrong question. It's where does the physical universe have no footing? And that's in the mind of the awakened one. So you have to be very, very careful about insights and visions that come. I was reading recently a book that said that when you see that there is no self, that's a sign you've gained stream entry. Well, it's usually a sign that you've grabbed onto some idea and you're holding very tight to it, the idea that there being no self, because there is no proof that there is no self. The Buddha didn't answer that question one way or another. That's another case of corruptions of insight. So just because an insight arises in the quiet mind doesn't mean that it's guaranteed to be true. You've got to watch out for the fools that come with your meditation. After all, what you're doing is uncovering parts of your mind that have been covered up before. But when the mind gets clear, these things appear. They rise to the surface. And not everything down there in the basement is good stuff. Sometimes some good stuff has been repressed, but sometimes just a lot of crazy garbage has been gathered around. These things get lodged in your mind just as they get lodged in your body. So learn how to be a person of integrity. If you find that you tend to be secretive about things, that's a sign. Okay, you're gonna come for a fall. As the Buddha said, what he was looking for in a student was someone who was observant and honest, open, willing to admit faults. Those are the qualities of integrity. And it's that kind of integrity that protects you from fools, both inside and out.